NASA's latest Mars mission is scheduled to launch from Cape Canaveral on Saturday. The Mars Science Laboratory, nicknamed Curiosity, is a $2.5 billion robotic machine. It's as big as a car and it's equipped with as many gadgets as possible so it can relay data back to Earth. To tell us more about this mission, we're joined now by Fred Watson. He's the astronomer in charge of the Australian Astronomical Observatory at Coonabarra Brand in northwestern New South Wales. Fred, welcome back to breakfast.
Thank you very much, Fran. How are you?
I'm terrific, Fred. This rover has been described as a Mars scientist's dream machine. What do you get for $2.5 billion? Can you tell us about it?
Yes, it's rather like the two rovers which during the last 5 years or so have explored Mars very successfully, Spirit and Opportunity. Opportunity is still going, actually. It's still operational. Spirit is now deceased. But Curiosity is very similar, but twice as big, much heavier. It's a very sophisticated version of these. So it has six wheels. It can traverse the surface of Mars. It can actually overcome obstacles which are something like 70 or 80 centimeters high. So it's very high off the ground, and equipped, as you say, with every possible gadget.
And landing on Mars is always fraught. You know, I was in London when Beagle 2 didn't survive. Curiosity is, as you say, it's big. They say it's as big as an SUV. How does a machine like that make it all the way to Mars, let alone touch down safely on the Martian surface?
Yeah, well, the secret is, first of all, to get you there when it's a heavy object. This thing weighs almost a ton. You use a very beefy rocket to get you there. Mm. So it's an Atlas V, the sort of sports car of these types of thing. But the real trick comes at the other end, because when you've got the spacecraft in the vicinity of Mars, you have to get it down on the surface. And the methods that have been used so far to bring spacecraft down onto the surface are not really suitable for this mass. It's so heavy. The two principal methods that have been used to date have been, first of all, to encase them in big rubber balls so they kind of bounce down to the surface. This is after re-entry, of course, and being slowed down by a parachute. Phoenix, which was landed on Mars in 2008, used braking rockets, so it had its own rockets to guide it down. And it's a sort of combination of those two that will be used on Curiosity, in that there's a thing called a sky crane. So it will re-enter Mars. It will enter Mars's atmosphere. There'll be the aerobraking, the usual thing with a protective heat shield. Then there is an enormous parachute that opens up and guides it down towards the surface. But it's still moving quite quickly, even when it gets near the surface. And at that point, the whole thing turns into a really complex arrangement with a thing called a sky crane, which is held up by its own rockets and dangles the rover underneath and gives it a soft and gentle landing on its six wheels onto the surface.
I've seen an animated sort of simulated video of this landing, and it really is quite incredible. And then there is this little machine, as you say, six wheels bounding around Mars. I mean, if there is life on Mars, if there are Martians, it's a pretty significant UFO touching down and tootling around their planet, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. And of course, that's one reason why Curiosity is going there, not actually to look for life on Mars, but to look for signs of habitability. In other words, to find the kind of chemical environment and mineral environment that would suggest that perhaps Mars once was, or parts of it still are, habitable to principally microbial life.
And it's very sophisticated. Again, watching that video, you see the robotic, it's got all sorts of robotic capacity and capacity to dig up earth and rocks and drop them into a processing lab within the machine itself. But as it's doing that, Fred, can you explain, is someone on Earth directing that, or does the rover itself know exactly what it needs to be doing?
Yeah, there's quite a degree of autonomy built into these things, and that's because, of course, the signals from Earth to Mars take an appreciable length of time, several minutes. For example, when Curiosity is driving along the surface, it will be working out where to go for itself. It'll be set, like Opportunity and Spirit were, it'll be set a target where it's got to get to, and then it figures it out for itself. So the autonomy is really quite remarkable.
What's the thinking about the odds that Curiosity could find some sort of sign of ongoing life on Mars, of some sort of biology?
It depends whether you're one of the optimistic astrobiologists or a pessimistic astrobiologist, but I think most people who study the possibility of living organisms beyond the Earth are very optimistic about Mars. One of the reasons for that, Fran, is that we know that wherever life can take hold on the Earth, it does. It seems to be very tenacious. It seems to take every opportunity to spring into being and thrive. And that has encouraged astrobiologists, people who look for the possibility of life beyond the Earth, it's encouraged them to look in ever more detail at Mars, because that's the easiest target to get to.
So it still has to land safely. This is a significant investment, obviously, but the stakes are high and very exciting. And there is an Australian connection here, Gale Crater. That's the landing site for Curiosity, and it's named after an Australian scientist. And I'm told the landing site even looks a bit like a map of Australia.
That's right. I think that's a bit fortuitous, but certainly Gale Crater, it's a 150-kilometre diameter crater which Curiosity will land in. It's named after he was actually a banker, Fran, but he was an amateur astronomer during the late 19th and early 20th centuries. This gentleman, Walter Frederick Gale, actually discovered comets and observed double stars. He also observed Mars, but of course he could never see the craters. They weren't seen until we sent spacecraft there, but one of them is now named after him.
Fantastic. Fred, thank you so much for joining us and filling us in on Curiosity.
Great pleasure, Fran.
Fred Watson, astronomer in charge of the Australian Astronomical Observatory at Coonabarra Bran, and the Curiosity rover is due to launch at just after 10 a.m. on Saturday, that's Florida time, from Cape Canaveral Air Force Station in the US. That could change, of course, but at the moment, blast off Saturday morning, US time. It's 12 past 8.